Hello, it's Mr. Jeffrey on with another special episode of Mr. Jeffrey on's World History Podcast. It's special episode 3 with a Roman numeral. This is the third part in the series where I sit down with former world history students and ask them questions from current world history students. By the way, this is probably the last time I'm going to do this with high school kids. I have some college kids coming in town in a couple weeks, and we're going to talk about AP classes in college. If you have questions for the college kids, email mrjeffreyon@gmail.com or call the Google voice number 321-804-APWH. That's 321-804-2794. Okay, I'm here with Spencer, Jessica, and Kamari, and we are going to tackle a few questions from current AP World History students that they wanted to ask past AP World History students. I'll just throw out the questions. You guys answer however you wish, whenever you wish, and we'll just do this like a conversation. What was your favorite thing about the class?
My favorite thing was whenever we did the Confucianism activity and the legalism stuff, when we had to, like, sit and get yelled at. I got to leave class, like, 10 minutes early one day, so it was fun.
Yeah, this year, I did it this week, and as a benevolent ruler, my reward was giving people rulers. So there. See? I make jokes.
My favorite part was learning the Chinese dynasty song. That I can't now
remember
anymore.
Mao Zedong.
I only remember the last two dynasties, like Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong was one guy. Oh.
My favorite part of the class was definitely when we had the games where we would have to ask questions and nobody could like make a statement, so everything you said was a question.
Oh.
So that was definitely my favorite part of the class.
We did all of three of those things this week. That's so weird that you mentioned them.
This was like meant to be.
Yes. Maybe it is. It's kismet.
I don't know what that
was.
I think it's Yiddish. I don't know. All right. In what ways has this class prepared you for your current AP classes?
The amount of reading, definitely, because it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And you need to read to succeed.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, it really set me up for understanding how all AP classes are going to be in the future and how college is going to be. It's reading, a lot of reading on your own, a lot of work on your own.
I'm thinking back to this class I took on America in the colonial period, and it was a Tuesday-Thursday class. Tuesday, he'd be like, all right, you have to read this page to this page, and it'd be like 80 pages before Thursday, and be ready to discuss. And, you know, I think 80 pages in 2 days versus, you know, 30, 40, 60 pages in a week. It makes it all kind of manageable and puts it in perspective for you on that. What, if anything, did you learn about yourself while taking AP World History?
I learned that I am a big procrastinator. I would sometimes wait till the last night to read the chapter, but I still get A's on it. But anyways, that's besides the point. No, it's not good to procrastinate, and I learned that that's one of my big flaws.
Yeah, procrastination was mine too. Not really reading till the very last night as well, but really didn't get that many good grades, so you have to read a lot to succeed in this class.
I kind of learned that I have to take notes as I'm reading, because if I do it afterwards, then I slack off and the notes don't have any good information and they don't help me whenever we can use them.
And that's one of those things that everybody's different about is how to take notes, when to take notes. There's people that they have to read through the chapter once through, then they go back and they start kind of taking notes. Then others that do it as they're going with that. By the way, it's not on here for questions we're asking, but how did you guys take notes? And we already have Jessica's answer. She had to do it while reading.
I tried several different styles of note taking. I first did the Cornell notes for about the first two chapters, and then I decided that I was just gonna do what best fit me. I would read something, and if I found a key term or a certain topic that was interesting, I would read more in depth about it and then take notes on that. So my notes were all over the place, basically. I would probably write one word, but it would have a whole new meaning to me because that was just the way I took notes.
One word had meant a lot more in your head. It was more of a trigger word that you'd know everything else. Spencer, anything to add?
I take notes from the chapter itself while I'm reading it. It took a little bit longer, but then if I did finish the chapter, I'd look and glance at the chapter PowerPoint that was provided for the chapter.
A lot of people do the PowerPoints ahead of time just to have a little bit of context and background knowledge so that it makes sense, or reading the Jeffreyon notes ahead of time as well. I think Jessica's the only one that can answer this. I don't think Spencer can. What are the similarities/differences between AP World History and AP Human Geography?
Oh, I didn't.
In terms of the class and the exam, let's just tackle the class first.
Well, as far as the class goes, it's similar in that it's a lot of work, and you have to take notes, you have to do the reading, you have to know your vocabulary. A little more so in human geography, because that's what the whole class was about, but you have to know your dates and your people, and it's a lot of memorizing and just going over and over. And it's different in that human geography, we were spoon-fed a lot more, and information was kind of handed over to us, and in world history, you just kind of have to figure it out on your own and do the work yourself. So those are the two biggest differences in the class.
Spencer, any thoughts?
The class was definitely a little bit harder because I felt that it was just, like, about the dispersion of people was just a little bit more difficult than actually learning about the history of those people. But I guess after looking back at it now, after learning the history about those people, I can now understand why and how they moved about in those countries that they moved in.
Stuff that you learned in world history helped you better understand what you studied a year ago?
Like
geography or vice versa?
I think it's the other way around. I feel like learning the processes first helped understand the history. Because if you know that people tend to migrate a certain way, which you would learn in human geography, then you can apply it to, oh man, I didn't read this part, let me think, here's this question, I'm going to use what I know about how people tend to migrate, about how different city models look, about how different social classes were, to try to figure out this question. Gave you a background that if you didn't understand the history of something, if you have, well, it's generally like this, then it makes it easier.
Okay. I think this applies to a few of you. How do you handle your schedule and reading? And it could be sports, band, clubs, any of those things.
Well, the year I took AP World History, I was doing band and I was doing football at the same time. So you're talking about having a rough schedule. I would have band practice on Tuesdays, and then I would have football practice Monday through Wednesday, and sometimes even on Saturdays. So to fit the reading in there, I would have to work through it, and I would have to go home after practice and read. I would have to set my priorities in order, because even though sports was a good thing and so was band, but my education came first. So I would have to make time to do what was necessary to pass the class.
I didn't find it helpful to stay up late studying, because there's a certain point where you're just so tired, you're not going to hold any information. So I would go to bed at a reasonable time. So if I was done with whatever activity I was doing, I would go to bed as normal, and then I would wake up maybe an hour earlier, because I'm better off in the morning. So if that works for you, that's how I managed it.
That's actually exactly what I used to do in college all the time. I'd try to study. I'd stay up as late as I could studying, reading, working on a paper, you know, a paper that could be due the next day even. And let's say I had class at 8. Well, I'd wake up at 6 or 5 or something, and I'd just work on whatever that paper was that was due, or study for whatever that test was coming up, just to kind of get in that extra time when I'm fresh. Sammy, in my advisory, keeping the last names, anonymity and all that, when we were having our discussion, she mentioned the exact same thing, waking up at 4:30. She actually said 3:30, which pretty crazy, but apparently it worked for her. She did well in the class, did well on the exam. But I think that might be a theme that we're seeing, that it's not just time spent studying, it's your state of mind while you were studying. Spencer, anything to add about that as far as working around a crazy schedule?
I tried getting at least a good hour in studying, whether reading the chapter or taking notes or just finishing the DBQ, just trying to keep a dedicated hour towards studying.
Every day or...
Yeah, every day.
That's another theme that I'm seeing, is a lot of people are saying about an hour a day.
An hour or 2 hours.
Yeah.
Just with something to keep them.
What study methods were helpful to you?
Well, let me put it blunt to you. The first test was a rude awakening, and me and a couple of my friends in the class, me, Christy, Jake, a couple of people, we decided to make a study group, and we would go and study, and it really didn't work out after a while, because, you know, either I would text Christy or ask her a question about this or that, and vice versa from her, so we would have each other to lean on and help each other out. So I think it's always good to find a partner or a group of people that you can work with to help you.
Again, I'm identifying themes from the multiple groups of students here as far as study groups. That was another thing, yes.
Well, cramming doesn't work. So to find out what does work, you can start with what doesn't. Cramming doesn't work. I had this class 4A, I think, and I would spend my entire third period reading the chapter that I should have read 2 days before, 3 days, the week before. So cramming doesn't work. I really just reading and taking notes in the website. I think the website saved me more than anything, because I'm not good at comprehending what I'm reading sometimes, especially if I'm in a rush. So the website was my biggest study tool.
The one thing I would just want to ask, and I don't know if we don't want this on the recording, I will edit it out. But did you do that for the first 5 chapters? Did you try to read it all the period before?
The first 5 chapters, I would read it a couple days before, and then the period before, I would go back through it.
So like, you already had one reading through ahead of time, and you weren't trying to cram.
And then I would cram just before it, because I would kind of, I haven't read it in 3 days. I'm going to try to read it all again. And sometimes it helped, because I'd already had the basis of the first time. Sometimes it just confused me, so it never works, ever.
So... Ever. The ones you didn't cram in the beginning, you ended up cramming later on. Related question, which quizzes were most successful for you?
My first quizzes. But I think that goes for anybody, because when you walk into the class, you want to make a good impression. You want to be the good student. And as the year goes on, it gets harder to have the motivation to want to read and to want to take notes and to want to do better. Like, everyone hits that slump in the middle of the year that's just like, this is never going to end. So I think the same can be said for anybody. And like, the first quizzes were pretty
decent. For a lot of people, just out of the gate, they're trying their hardest and they're doing well with it, but at some point the intrinsic motivation, they need to develop that and find that somewhere. Spencer.
Same question.
Yeah, it was study methods. Yes. Which ones did you find most helpful?
I used the PowerPoints from the chapter that you're given, and I also read quite a bit of the chapter and just taking good notes. And
That's all you have to add. I'm fine.
Just gonna say that, like, at the end of the year, I did better with the quizzes because it was just more modern kind of information.
More modern history,
so it was a little bit easier
to relate to.
Yeah.
How did you overcome struggles in this class? And you guys have already mentioned the website. I guess you could get more specific if there's any PowerPoints.
I didn't really do any study groups, but sometimes what helped me is just calling some good friends that I knew were actually doing better in this class.
Okay.
I really kind of didn't use any resources other than the website to overcome struggles. Like, it just was a fight all year long, and you really don't have the feeling of accomplishment of winning that fight until the AP exam is over, and then it's just like this huge sense of relief, and you're just going to be pretty wound up all year long. It's going to be stressful. You're going to, I told one girl that she was going to cry over these quizzes. I don't remember doing that, but you get to that point. So it's just, it's a struggle all year long, and some people do push past it. They get review books, and they kind of get ahead of the game, but it's, the whole thing's a struggle. So you really overcome it at the end when it's all over, and you realize, you look back and you can see how much you really did accomplish.
I know with me, it was a little bit different because I had to go home and I had to tell myself over and over again that I could do this class. And I know we're sitting here and telling you things that can help you to get over the struggle or whatever else you're finding difficult in this class, but it just takes your commitment and your want to do this. You have to want to be able to pass the class and pass the AP exam in the end. So you have to all year keep in your head that you can do this, that you are capable of passing AP World History.
Okay. How did you isolate yourself from distractions when doing your reading?
I would either not read until everyone out of the house was gone. I have two little sisters, so it's hard to really focus. I would make sure my phone was off and out of the room, because even if it's on and it vibrates, you know you want to check what the notification was. I'm kind of addicted to my phone, so I had to just turn it off and leave it outside the room. I would keep a laptop close by, but not where it was, like, in view, just in case I needed, like, I wanted to research something that I was reading. TV, like, I would unplug it from the wall. Like, I was just that addicted to all these distractions. So it really, you have to go into it with the right mindset of, I'm going to get in there, get this done, and get it over with. Because, I mean, being honest, nobody really wants to sit down and read 60 pages. So you have to just see it as, I'm going to get it done, understand it, and move on. So
for me, I went out to Target and I bought signs that said no trespassing, and I put them all over my room door. So I let my entire family know, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my two dogs, I let them know that when it was time for me to read or study, that there was no, there weren't going to be any things outside of my room that were going to disturb me. So I had a little poster board on the refrigerator, and it had all the days that I was intending on studying, or at least trying to do something that concerned not only AP World History, but all of my classes. So everyone in my family, at least in my immediate household, knew that I, when it was time for me to study or do some work, that I was serious about it, and I was going to get it done.
At first, I was really interested in how your dogs responded.
Yeah.
Sat down and explained to them, look, guys,
don't come in my room.
When I have these signs up, you're not allowed in here. But then I was just way more impressed that your dogs could read those signs. All right, Spencer.
I would just grab a bunch of music that I liked, put it in a playlist, and put on some headphones and just study with that.
And that's something that's pretty unique. I don't think most people can do that, especially headphones, you know, listening to music that has lyrics to it. That often messes people up, I think.
I found it helpful because, like, as I'm reading, I'm hearing lyrics, and, like, I could associate those lyrics with what I'm reading. And then, like, incentives, too, have always kind of worked for me. Like, if I know I want a chocolate chip cookie, I'm not going to let myself eat the chocolate chip cookie until I've finished, like, 10 pages or so. Like, I would set goals in my head for, oh, my show's coming on tonight, I'm not going to watch it unless I get through however so many pages. So you just kind of have to, it's like a brain thing. You have to tell yourself, like, I'm going to do this. So
you could almost do something like that. Like, what you're describing reminds me of this thing on this website where this guy apparently must be really into video games, and what he does is he creates things he has to accomplish to get to the next level, and he tracks where he is as far as, you know, what level he's achieved and everything else. And it may be something like, I need to get a 90 or higher on a reading quiz. I need to study for at least 3 hours this week, you know, something like that.
That's kind of weird, though. Like, they'd walk into class, like, hey guys, I'm on level 64, and they're just kind of like, oh. Okay.
That would be kind of weird, I guess. I don't know if most people who do that tell others about it. I thought about doing it, but I'm just not that into games to actually How long did it take for everything to click? Now, Jessica kind of described that it was when it was time for the exam, that's when it happened. But any other thoughts on that?
Well, it all clicked for me after our first DBQ. I realized that the little mini cues we did in eighth grade with Miss Flores or Miss Preston.
No names.
Sorry, no names, apparently. They were the little mini cues that we did, and they were a lot easier because the teachers helped us through it. But I now realize that the DBQs that we do in high school or in AP World History or AP US History are going to be a lot harder. So after that first DBQ, I realized that it's crunch time and I have to start actually doing some work.
Okay, so any final thoughts, words of encouragement, anything that you would pass on to the next generation of AP students?
Read your book. Always read your book. Know that anyone can do this class if they put the work in. Don't cram before the AP exam because you'll wake up exhausted. It doesn't matter how much sleep you get. Just the stress of knowing that you're about to take an exam that determines whether you get the college credit for this class is stressful. So do not cram the night before. And really just put the work in. I mean, that's really all this class was, is making sure you do everything that you need to do. Because if you do that, Mr. Jeffreyon sets it up to where everything you are asked to do will prepare you for this exam. So if you do it and get it done, you'll be ready.
You could also you assign those long-term projects at the beginning of the year, right? Like the essay?
I don't do them at the beginning of the year because you have to learn the essay styles first, but I am going to do the flashcards. We'll start those for Unit 1 next week.
Okay. Oh, do all your try to get all your long-term assignments done before they are due so you don't have to worry about them a week before, because if you put them off to the week before, you're going to have a whole week of heck.
It's not fun to do 300 note cards the night before they're due. I'm just saying.
Especially those thesis statements. Oh, my God. Anyways, but definitely know that this class, it may seem hard when you first walk through these doors, but if you mentally prepare yourself and you actually do the work, you will know that you have a whole team of people here and an excellent teacher that will meet you halfway. If you put half the work in, he will definitely help you on the rest. So just know that you have not only a good teacher or classmates around you, but also kids who've already taken this class, such as me or anyone else. And just know that there are always people here who can help you, and don't be scared to ask questions or inquire about things, because the fool that doesn't ask a question proves that he's a fool.
That is awesome.
What a great quote.
That would be a great way to end the podcast. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Deuces.
All right, come on.
Well, that wraps up today's episode. Next time you see a special episode in your iTunes feed, it will be college kids talking about the AP and college experience. If you have questions for them, don't forget, email mrjeffreyon@gmail.com or call them in 321-804-APWH. Just leave a message in your first name. We'll take care of the rest. Until next time.